Right. Well, what I want to talk today about is that God loves you. I want us to think about how much he loves us. Now, we know God loves us. We talk about it. We read about it. It's a sort of fundamental of what we believe. But I really want us to take some time to think how much he loves us and see if we can just dig a little bit deeper and understand a little bit more, because it's bigger than we can imagine. We're going to spend all eternity learning about how much he loves us and how amazing he is. And already we can see fabulous things that he's doing for us, he's done for us, and how much he loves us. But it's just the start. So let's get into that with every day that we live and be aware of his love and put aside anything that makes us doubt it or worry about it or whatever. So I'm going to start by reading from Ephesians 3, from verse 14. It's one of my favorite bits. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he will strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, so that's all of us, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, this is one of those passages that Paul seems to cram so much into it, and then crams a bit more, and then crams a bit more. But the bit in the middle there, that we might have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp. So we need power from God, but we can ask and he will give us that power to understand, to grasp, to get it inside us, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. It's like every direction. How wide it just goes on and on and on. How long it goes on. And then how deep do they go, how high? There is no limit to it. But we need to work on it, ask for it, to grasp that. And then this is the bit. I have read somewhere that people felt that Paul was a bit strict and dour, but there are times when I think he's just so funny. And to know this love. So he wants us to know about this love that is amazing and vast in every direction that surpasses knowledge. How can you know something that surpasses knowledge? You can't. You can start, you can get into it, but there's always going to be more. There's always going to be that deeper bit that you can go into. But it's a journey, and it's a journey we can make every day. It's a journey we make by the Holy Spirit. We say, look, I want to grasp this. I want to get deeper into this. There's more of you. Will you show me? Will you help me understand? And he will do that. And then the bit on the end, which I have read so many times and I really don't think I understand what it's about at all, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. How do you fancy that, being filled to the measure of all the fullness of God? And the way that bit follows on from having the power to grasp and to know this love. Yeah, it's not by learning stuff and doing this, and it's understanding it and inside us the vastness of his love for us. It's incredible. And if we go on to the next bit, which is a bit off track, but it's just another. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. And according to the power that has worked with him, be glory. Now, I can ask and I can imagine quite a lot. Yeah? And sometimes I feel, oh, I shouldn't ask for that. That's too big. Yeah? But here you've got the idea that he does more than we can ask, more than we can imagine, according to the spirit within us. And that's all following on from understanding how big his love is. Because if we're saying, oh, I can't ask for that, I'm not worthy of that, I'm not good enough for that, we've totally missed out the point that how much he loves us. It's something we can't finish learning about, grasping about. It's always, however deep we get and however much he fills us, there is going to be more. And in Romans 8, we read that Paul is convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. And so great with that convinced of all that Paul did and all he was sure about and all he stated and stood on and got stoned for and whatever. He is convinced that nothing can separate us from that love. So as we get into it, it's there and nothing, we can't lose it if we just hang on to him. Wow, it's amazing. Okay. He loves you individually, as a person, you. It's not just for everybody else, he loves you. He's passionate about you. He delights over you with singing. Oh, that thrilled me when I read that a long time ago now. But the idea that he's watching over me and singing. He is pleased when you take time to turn your thoughts and attention to him. Like a child coming to sit on a parent's lap. I think we're all parents here. And if your child comes in, hey, can I just sit on your lap for a bit? It just delights us. And he will never be too busy. Now, we may be thinking, oh, but I've got to do this and I've got time. He will never be too busy because he can do everything at once. Just to bring you in and sit and talk to him and ask him about things and tell him about our God. It's just like a child sitting on a father's lap who's so full of love for us. He loves how he puts things in better perspective for us. Allows some of the stresses to fall away. Certainly does that for me. And the joy to rise up, just and the peace. Take the time out and that of the day and think, yes, this is what real reality is about. And he knows all about you. This is the wonderful bit. He knew you before time began, and as you were being formed inside your mother, he knows your past and your mistakes, and he loves you, and he sees you just as you are. Nothing surprises him. He knows the plans he has for you, which are, as we know, are for good, to give you hope, a future, because he loves you. Now, sometimes we can keep people, and I know I'm very prone to do this, at arm's length, because we're afraid that if they know what we're really like, they wouldn't like us very much. Or maybe we have been rejected in the past, and we don't want that to be happening again, so we sort of hold back, we become reserved. But God already knows everything. He knew it before it was going to happen. He knows just everything. Every thought, every action, good, bad, everything in between. And he still loves us deeply. We know he can't reject us. We know because he just loves us. and he promises never to leave us or forsake us. He is faithful and totally trustworthy. So we come to him in that peace. But if God really knew what I was like, he does, and he loves you to bits. Right, but as certainly as he loves us, we have an enemy who hates us, because God loves us and he hates God. That enemy hates us and wants to get in between God and us and break that connection. He wants to lie and steal and kill and destroy. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, because focusing too much on the enemy is not helpful. But Paul did say in Corinthians, I do not want you to be ignorant of his devices. The enemy brings sin and death and then tries to get us to blame God. We come and we say, how can God allow such and such? It's a loaded question, and it's really hard to answer if we start with the wrong ideas. It's God who loves us. He wants to bless us, prosper us, give us joy, hope, eternal life, and peace. The devil hates us and wants to rob us, deceive us, kill us, and cut us off from all that is good and isolate us. And we have got to be aware of that. Yeah? If we're feeling cut off from God, it's not God. Yeah? It's somebody else. The choice is life and death. And if it's not obvious, in Deuteronomy, God says, choose life, which is kind of a particular statement. Well, before you, you've got life and death. And it's up to you to choose. And I'm going to give you a hint, choose life. Well, don't let anyone convince you or anything convince you that God does not love you. He loves you just as you are, has a plan for you, and a big part of which is spending time fellowshipping with you. When we see him, we become more like him. The more we see, the more we are transformed. We even get access to the mind of Christ, so that we can actually think some of his thoughts. And if we're thinking about God's love, we also need to remember that God loves them. Yeah? Whoever them are. He loves everybody the same. For God so loved the world, he gave. Everyone is unique with different gifts and struggles, but his love is towards everyone. We can rejoice that he loves our family. Look at each one, bring them to mind, and know God loves them just where they are. We can know God loves those we find difficult to get on with, even hurtful. You may not like their mistakes, but he loves them. It doesn't matter where political party they are, male, female, whatever you want to type of person they are. God loves them. It's really struck home to me a little while ago. I was watching a film, a sort of shoot 'em up where the good guy wins and the bad guys get just what they deserve. And there was blood everywhere as this good guy went around fixing the world and putting it to rights. Yeah, it's a silly sort of film, but sort of entertaining. And afterwards, I just felt God say to me, if that was real, all those bad guys who got blasted to bits, I would have loved them too. Sitting there thinking, oh, I'm glad he got, he deserves that. And it's only make-believe, I know. But if it was real, God would love them too. His call to us is to let everyone see how much they are loved, by how much we love one another, and that includes them, whoever them are. We don't have to agree with them or condone the things that we may not agree with or think are wrong, but we are asked to love them. In Ephesians 3 that we read at the beginning, For this reason, I kneel before the Father, excuse me, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Every family. They get their name. He is Father to them all. Okay, so I'm going to end with these thoughts. It will be good this week to spend some time just meditating on the love of God. That's mumbling over, chewing over, singing over, just bringing it to mind quietly. Think of 1 Corinthians 13. God is love, God is patient, God is kind. 1 John 3:16, which we sang about today, which was great. For God so loved the world. And that word so is just so important. It was, there was no limit to it. So loved. Think of the songs he's singing over you. Think of the songs that he has sung to you, and you know that those are words to you, that how much he loves you. And then, as you know he loves you, think about how you can love one another, the people around you. Family, friends, those who are difficult, those you don't know yet. All we do could be a love song to our friends, a love song to God. I'm going to do this as part of my song to you, God, this week, today. And if we start listening to the song that God has for us and thinking about how much he loves us and filling us, it's going to be so much easier for us then to let that flow through to the people around us. Amen. That's me.
Thank you so much, Pete. What a wonderful, wonderful message. I'm feeling loved. I'm feeling loved. God loves us so much. And I just know that this is what God wants. He wants us to understand. He wants us to understand how much he loves us. I just pray this week that, like Pete says, we have a love song on our heart to the Lord, and we accept his love song to us. So thank you again, Pete. That was a real, real blessing. And for anyone who's listening to this in the recording, if you would like to get in touch with us, you can do so on slough@riverchurch.org.uk. Please join us next week. We will be in the live building. So I hope to see as many of you there as possible. So thank you. Bless you. And have a wonderful week. And Costas.
I should make the close with the prayer. Father, we thank you for your message. We thank you for, we know that it's from your heart.
Yeah.
That just words cannot express, cannot make us understand how much you love us. And again, our words cannot make you. Cannot express our love for you, Father. But we do pray that the Holy Spirit that knows and understands is the communicator between you and us and you. That will make us grow in your love and your understanding. And Father, I do pray that you carry on changing us from within. One, that we understand how much you love us. And two, your second command, love everyone. Love everyone with me. Somewhat slogan as well.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I just pray that we're not going to distinguish what they look like, what they do, what they're saying. And I pray that we'll look people with your eyes, how you look at them, how you love them. I pray that the Holy Spirit will make us grow in our love. as being said earlier on, it's so big. No matter how much you want to sit down and think about it, and it's immeasurable and it's endless. It has begun from the beginning of the creation and it's going to carry on forever, for eternity. And Father, just pray that I will grow in your peace and in your love and in your joy. We will accept every blessing that you have for us. We have accepted Christ, your precious Son, as our Lord and our Savior. And we pray that many more people will understand how much you love us, how much you love them, and accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. For he is the only way. There's no other way. He is the only way to salvation, to eternity, to eternal life with the Father, the Almighty God. I pray your peace and joy will be with us every single day, no matter what we're going through. And Father, I just pray for myself as well, especially, and just as that we will care for what we say. Our words have power. Help us stay in the positive and the loving words for ourselves, for our family, for whoever we don't even know. And Father, we bless you. We thank you for your message.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for this day.
Yes.
It's your day. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.